Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What do I got? You got a bug hanging?
Boo Chumbi.
So I'll be the nerd.
We'll be the players. You'll be the nerd.
And you don't have data on your side, I'll tell you that. No.
Cubs play-by-play man for the Marquee Network.
I owe Chicagoland an apology.
Peterson waits.
Swing and a drive. High and deep right field. Betts back. Betts some more. The puck's going to hold it.
All the latest news and notes on the Chicago Cubs.
Why are they playing Row, Row, Row? Oh, David Bodie's up. They're playing Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
They're not that smart.
John Chumbi.
What happened to the Boog person?
Boog Chumbi with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
We love talking to the Boog person every Friday or Thursday, if there's a day game on Friday, which there often is. He talks to us weekly. This is Parkinson Spiegel, who's on the Altamont and Nissan hotline, Altamont and Nissan in Melrose Park. What's up, Boog? How you doing today?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
We are good, man. Got Jake Arrieta back in the lineup tonight. Got Nico Horner back in the lineup tonight. It's been thin on that bench. Real weird thin times on the bench. Nice to have some people back. Yes?
Yeah, no question. And you know, obviously good that KB's back and playing as well after getting hit in the wrist and wasn't feeling so hot. But I think Nico Horner's a guy that would be interesting to watch just from the standpoint of, look, at the beginning of the year, you know, they struggled offensively, but, you know, it was tied into so much swing and miss. And I feel like part of where things have gotten better is more Matt Duffy, more Eric Sogard. I mean, I'm not advocating a lineup of nine of those guys, but I, you know, the contact being in there, and I think that Nico is the type of player that I think on the high side could give you some pop and definitely contact with plus defense. So that's a real good thing.
They sometimes talk about it was a good day for an off day. I didn't really feel that way with how tough those losses were in Cleveland and all the runners stranded on base, but the pitching playing well. Do you subscribe to the theory that there is such thing as a good or bad time for an off day?
Well, can I just answer a question by asking a question? Like,
sure.
Is there something about not hitting with men in scoring position that you feel necessitates you need to get back out there the next day?
You know, maybe this is just me, like, projecting my...
Well, I'm asking you,
yeah,
Parkins.
Yeah, okay, like, yes, for me, those losses in particular felt a little extra frustrating. It's like with...
Well, do you just want to see them get out there again, or
yes,
do you think they need to be out there again?
No, I personally want to see them just get out
there. He doesn't
want
to hang out with his wife, Boog. He doesn't want to talk to his wife. He just wants to watch games.
I do enjoy watching games. That is accurate. But no, it was... Okay. I don't know, man. Those losses... 25 guys left on base in two games. It was particularly frustrating, and I would think that they wouldn't want to let that stew for an extra 24 hours.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you. It's just
terrible.
The game to game. I don't know whether you guys are aware, but they play 162 of them. There's a lot. There's a lot. So it like the 2 for 20 whatever with men in scoring position gets put in the rearview mirror really quickly. You know, when Willie leads off with a homer tonight. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where I also would say this: situational hitting and especially men in scoring position, and I make this point like advocating for the data. So left on base for an individual game is frustrating as all get out to watch. But as it relates, so in the game, talking about there's such and such with men in scoring position, I get it. But over the course of the season, if you want to find a stat that correlates with good offense, go to the league leaders in left on base. because the teams that score runs don't do it at a higher rate. They do it because they get more chances. There is not some magic skill set to knocking in runs. It's been studied. The good hitters are the good hitters. So ultimately, all you're trying to do is just fish with a bigger net. But your ability to efficiently knock in runs is not the answer to your season. Are there outliers like the 2013 Cardinals? Sure. But in the end, if you want to know whether this team is going to be good or is good offensively, just focus on on-base percentage. If they're getting guys on base, that's going to be the number one thing that'll correlate with run scoring. Will it be perfect? Am I guaranteeing it? No. But the situational hitting is just one of those things that and I hear you also emotionally watching it.
That's crazy.
It's frustrating. But in the overall, if I tell you they keep getting those chances, if they get that many chances over the course of every two games, the rest of the year, man, they're going to be in good shape. Promise you.
Yeah, that makes you're objectively correct.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world.
I'll be here every Friday.
It's perfect.
They're still like they're 21st in RISP in the league, and that's with a horrific start overall, and this really brutal run. I think Cleveland's just got a really good bullpen too. Has a lot of
they do the best in the bigs.
Woo, that's a lot of good swing and miss guys. We talked a little bit about Chris Bryant and swinging down on the ball, or at least the mindset of it and how it has been helpful for him. I think it was Gammons who tweeted this morning that Mike Trout's launch angle is the lowest of his career right now, and yet he's having a real good year. I just wonder if we're seeing just some of the beginnings of a little adjustment back from launch angle folks. Do you feel like you're seeing that in more guys than just the two specifics I'm bringing up?
So you brought up Chris Bryant and Mike Trout,
yeah,
right?
They're
between
good.
The two of them, they have four MVPs, and they're, I would say, in the 99th percentile of talent.
Yeah.
I think there's something to the idea that these guys are trying. I mean, look, Tom Verducci detailed it, that Mike and Chris Bryant worked in the offseason on the top part of the zone. Verducci detailed how much higher – you know, it used to be a belt-high fastball with a four-seamer, and now it's two balls above that, and guys are really having a difficult time. They're still doing the same thing. I mean, it's not they're not actually swinging down, but they're mechanically trying to – I mean, again, it's the Ted Williams philosophy. Like, Ted Williams advocated, Mike Bryant taught Chris Bryant, and it still holds true. Everybody out there teaching your kids a level swing, where's the pitcher? The pitcher is not level with you. The pitcher is standing above you. He is 10 inches above you. So by that very nature, he is delivering the ball on a down angle. You want to stay through the hitting zone a little longer, then you should have a slight uppercut to your swing.
Yeah, your guy Sutcliffe is a lower the mound guy. I didn't realize he was till I heard him the other day on our station.
Well, he
thinks they ought to lower the mound, not move it back, but he's a lower the mound guy if you're looking to add more contact and balls in play back in.
I don't know whether that'd do it or not. The other thing I would say is this. Are some guys adjusting to the four-seam fastball? Yes. But I would still say that the story in the sport right now is they throw them fastballs up in the zone more than ever. They throw harder more than ever, but they throw fewer than ever. So trying to get hits nowadays is about making sure you're not chasing, you know, ungodly breaking balls. And I don't know what the adjustment really is for that. So as much as you want to sit there and talk about, you know, that people are adjusting, here is the 2021 Major League Baseball slash line, 234, 311, 390. 234 would be the lowest in the history of the game.
It's a tough watch.
Yeah.
How about this for a half-baked theory? What about just a
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I got a lot of them. And it's Friday.
Let me tell you something. I am familiar with your work.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's usually fully baked.
Yeah, we need all the fans we can get.
So half is a win.
I love you guys. Thank you. What about eliminating the high strike? What about lowering the strike zone? It's no longer a strike anymore. You're not allowed to throw it up there that high. It would be a ball.
I would say, I think, and this will freak some people out, but this is what I would say. I think that if you want to, so like if the, you know, 50 or 45 and above, you know, gang that are listening, if you can just like take a deep breath and think about passing the sport on to the younger crowd, I would advocate for this. I don't have like hard studies. I'm sure they'll do stuff like this. I would advocate if you, what this sport needs to look like, it's moving faster. So one of the things is everything is max effort. The pace is slow. The ball being in play is slow. I think the best version of the sport and putting everything on display would be 7-inning games with a 16, 17-second pitch clock. And it would just feel like it was on speed. And with that, you're like, you know, I said it the other day, as of, you know, a few days ago, 10 batters faced as the minimum, there were 75 guys averaging 96 and above. Think about that. And so, but you're not going to be able to do that, having to deliver no pit, no play, and re-deliver in under 16 seconds. So I think that, and then it takes out some of that, I'm going to look at my card thing, because I'm all about the data, but do your homework before the game. Not while we're on the field. Not while we're on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just got to move. I think it's just got to be faster. I mean, if you go back and look at some of this stuff, I mean, like Theo Epstein was on a podcast. He was talking about the 75 World Series, and you're watching Louis Tiant deliver and re-deliver pitches and the pace that he's delivering with guys on base.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, let's go, man. Move it along. And I think that I think it's really a pitcher-based thing. I don't think there's a lot of room for adjustment for the hitters to combat what we're dealing with right now, especially when bullpens are weaponized. You know, the bullpens used to be failed starters that weren't any good, and now the bullpens are weaponized, and the guy that enters, you know, with one out in the sixth is a monster. And so it's just harder and harder, and I think aesthetically – it's just got to move more. It's just these players are the best players ever, in my opinion, but we've got to see them do their thing. We've got to see them, you know, run and hit and throw and all that stuff. So,
yeah, I think in 20 years, the game ends up looking a lot more like that. You know, I don't know.
I think we should eliminate the strike zone.
Well, you know, I don't know how we're going to get there. Like my nine-year-old Boog, I said, hey, you want to go to a game? He's like, it's so slow, Daddy.
Yes, that's right.
It's so slow. I'm like, man, really? He's right, though. I know. I want to go back like a week. The minor leagues have now begun. Heard you talking about this and talking about Boise, that you were a young pup given an assignment to go do play-by-play in Boise. And traveling around, it allowed you to see a part of the world you had never seen, the Northwest. And I was trying to picture young Boog traipsing around the Northwest and seeing beauty and majesty the likes you had not ever seen. Must have been lovely, Boog.
It was amazing. I mean, on a bus, it was like you just go, you know, as a kid from the Northeast, like I was just, it was, you're driving through Christmas trees everywhere and you're seeing like, you know, deer and wildlife on the side of the road. Also, Maddie, the first thing we learned, it is Boise, not Boise.
Okay.
So I'm just throwing it at you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I needed to tell you.
No, I needed to know. And now I know. That's beautiful. The travel ranks have been broken. The Reds radio team was in Cincinnati last week. I think that's all we got so far. Yeah. But, you know, one down. Holding out hope.
We're trying. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm holding out hope. I mean, I feel confident it's going to happen. I think the issue becomes, okay, so if the announcers travel, do the producer and director travel? And I know that the average person doesn't contemplate the producer or the director, but, you know, from a technical standpoint, if they're not traveling, what are our communications like? You know, I know this sounds amazing, but you know, so when you're doing games, the monitors aren't, you know, like you're just assuming they set up a TV. But like we, you know, with ESPN, like I've done games where I don't have a live monitor. I've been on site, college basketball game, and it's 2.5 seconds behind what's on the court.
That's ridiculous. I mean, you're talking to a fellow play-by-play guy in Matt Spiegel, so he knows what you're talking about. But to me, that sounds ridiculous. That's incredible.
It's hard. Yeah.
Well, I would think that the news that, hey, if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask anymore, I would think that that would be accelerating the conversations to get you guys back on the road.
Well, also, for me, I mean, people need to see this moneymaker, don't they? I mean, they get to see it on TV, but I mean, I just, you know, I want to start walking around and just, you know, letting everybody just get a look at my mug.
I'll be honest, for the skinny fat guy with the double chin, I think I look better in a mask.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not giving it up. But everybody, oh, you're not giving it up because you don't want to get sick or you're, you know, afraid of the virus. Yeah. No. I think I look better with one.
Boog, if we get a chance to talk to Andy Dalton at Bears training camp, we're just going to have you do it because I'm sure you guys speak some kind of orange language that we know nothing about.
Well, I think I probably could transmit some type of signal to him. I'm going to need to get a picture with Andy Dalton. I will tell you that. I posted like Andy Dalton on the cover of ESPN the magazine as me, and I said it was me, and I got like a couple of people that were confused by it, but I'm hoping. I mean, I'm sure Andy Dalton has no idea who I am, but I'm excited to meet him.
Well, if you see him at the meetings, put in a good word for us so we can get some access. Okay,
you bet.
Thank you.
100%.
Thank you.
Boog, ALS Day in Major League Baseball is fast approaching, and
oh my gosh,
I'm curious. What I know, rough transition there, but I'm curious what preparations you have or you could share with the audience and what that's going to be like. And also, the sports scene in Chicago has been kind of talking about ALS now for weeks with Mongo McMichael's diagnosis. So any connection that you've had, I'm not sure if you have any relationship with him, but I know this day is going to be very significant for baseball and for yourself.
I don't have a connection with him. I did just get a Mongo shirt from Obvious Shirts just to support him. And
nice.
You just see it throughout. I mean, you know, football lost Dwight Clark, who, you know, I think we're all roughly in the same age range. You remember the catch from Dwight. And, you know, so you're talking about two significant football players from that era. As far as June 2nd, you know, the bases will all be jeweled with 4ALS. They'll be wearing a Lou Gehrig patch with a 4ALS on it. You know, the Cubs and Marquee have been great about, you know, coming together and you know, raising awareness. So we got more announcements to come, but there's going to be an auction that Cub fans, I think, are really going to like. And as well, you know, the ability to buy some cool T-shirts. And, you know, more than anything, look, so my charity project, Main Street, goes to help people living with the disease. It's a really small space. ALS doesn't have a cure. It's 100% fatal. But for the people that do have it, the average out-of-pocket cost is $250,000. So Project Main Street tries to help in that regard. And, you know, so that's one of the things. But in the overall, man, there's an awareness component that I just think is super important, so that if, you know, some 11-year-old kid is at that game on June 2nd and, you know, turns to his dad and just says, "Dad, what's that patch? What's ALS?" Like, that's kind of a win. You know what I mean? Like, that, it's that type of stuff. I just think there's just a lot of people out there that don't know about it. So there'll be ALS patients in attendance there. Steve Gleason is going to be there, you know, video messages. I'm really excited about it. We'll have more stuff to announce, but it's going to be pretty neat.
You're the goods. Cubs broadcaster Boog Shambi, have a good call tonight. We will talk soon.
Love you guys.
Thanks, Boog.
Thank you. That's Boog Shambi. He said we're all around the same age. Didn't want to break it to him because he was being so eloquent about ALS. My parents had not met yet when the catch happened with Dwight Clark. So I was 5 years from being born.
And you were conceived at halftime of the 85 Bears Super Bowl.
Right. That's January 10th, 1982, following the 81 season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Do you think your parents did it because Ruben was there suggesting it?
Interesting tie-in. the timeline is off. But yeah, now we've made it awkward about my parents having sex and Spiegel's child asking him about having SEX. Yeah. Yeah, you really have tied the awkwardness together.
Way to bring us all together in awkwardness.
We are a team. I'm looking forward to talking to Barry Rosner. I know he was great to me. I was only able to host a few times with him, but he was still at the Score when I came here. You guys, obviously, a long relationship, both of you as hosts of Hit and Run. He announced his retirement today with a beautiful retirement column, 37 years as a newspaper reporter and columnist in this town. And he announced that he's taken himself out of the rat race today voluntarily. So a hell of a career with amazing stories. Barry Rosner next on the Score.
So when he turned up dead, I let it go. And I said to myself, this is the business we've chosen. I didn't ask who gave the order, because it had nothing to do with business.
One hell of a run. 37 years, all of the Daily Herald, baseball reporter, columnist, a long run at 670 The Score, and getting to go out on his own terms, basically an impossibility in this business.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen anymore, does it? And as we bring in the great Barry Rosner, how much do you love that Chris Tannehill went and found Hyman Roth, as Barry had put it in the column today? We all love you, Barry, and we love that we get a chance to talk to you and the listeners get a chance to hear you. And congratulations on a phenomenal run and an absolutely beautiful farewell column today, buddy.
Spiegel, I'm out of words. Is there some part of this that you didn't understand? I'm out of words, and you're now asking me for more words.
We just need content, right, Danny? We just need, what, 10 minutes?
It's very selfish of us, Barry, but we really need the clicks and the social media impressions. That's what
I remember now so clearly why I hated working with Spiegel. It's so apparent to me now.
Yeah.
No, thank you, fellas. It's a crazy day. I'm always stunned by the response to certain things. It never more than, of course, today. It's just hard to understand. You know, you're just working, you're just doing a job. It's not an important job. It's just a job. And you're just grinding and trying to get through a day. And then you do this and people let you know what they think. And it's just very strange. It's very hard to understand. Spiegel, you know me much better than Danny, obviously. Danny, we've gotten to know each other. But I've never taken myself very seriously. I never thought very much about what I was doing. I was just doing it. And, you know, you grow up reading true giants like Verdi and Bernie Lincecombe, David Israel, John Shulian. Those are some of the names that come to mind. Some of those are before your time here, guys. Bill Gleason, Ray Suns. These guys were my education. They were true giants in the business. And on my best day, I couldn't hold a candle to any of them. It's really hard to sort of get a grasp on the response, but it's overwhelming. It's really appreciated, but it's just kind of shocking.
Well, you knew what those guys meant to you, what those words meant to you, what it represented, as whether it was an escape or whether it was a link to an experience you were having with sports. And you've ended up meaning that to a generation or two of people who've had a chance to read you and to hear you. You know, Danny and I have talked about this many times. I've quoted you, you saying sports matter because they don't matter. That it's like, it feels like a wonderful thing to focus on, because we all know, like you were saying, that it doesn't truly matter. But you know what? It matters a little. So after 37 years, you've actually done a pretty fair amount that has actually ended up mattering, Rosner.
Yeah, well, I mean, thank you, but who sits around and thinks about themselves? You know, I mean, I've never been able to do that. Maybe there's some self-deceit in that, but maybe that's how I got through a day where you just you tell yourself nobody really cares what you think, because if you can do that, then you can say what you think or write what you think or you know, behave in a certain manner, and then you don't have to worry about what anybody thinks about what you're saying or doing or writing. And that's how I handled it. So, I mean, I just never really spent any time thinking about or at least thinking that these words really matter. I do think, you know, not just because of us, because what we do, the businesses that we're in, I do think that sports are important for people who need them to get through a day. I've always thought that. I mean, Matt, I don't know if you remember, but every year around July 4th, when we were doing Hit and Run, which, by the way, I'm not coming back to Hit and Run, so stop asking me. But if you remember around July 4th, I would always get the highlights of the Rick Camp home run and talk about that game and how I stayed up all night watching that game, Braves Mets, in the middle of the night in one of the darkest periods of my life. And for just a few hours, I was, if not able to forget about things, at least able to enjoy something for a few hours. And there's people who have really tough lives, who have a hard time getting through a day and have a hard time managing whatever it is that they're trying to manage. And if for 2 or 3 hours that hockey game or baseball game or football game or whatever it is, even if you're angry about it, it's something that distracts you from what it is that's so difficult in your life. So in that sense, I do think sports matter, but it's just very odd for me to see the response. And don't get me wrong, it's very much appreciated. It's just a little overwhelming, at least for me.
Who have you heard from?
I'm sitting on roughly in the neighborhood of 200 or 300 texts right now, numerous phone calls, voicemails, and the social media response insane. I'm not going to tell you who some of the people are who have reached out to me, but they're not people that I expected to hear from in a situation like this. And it's just kind of blows your mind that you'd think that people who have much more important things to do have time in their day for something like that. It's just kind of shocking.
Well, the consummate professional, 37 years of the Daily Herald, Barry Rosner with us on The Score, announcing his retirement in a beautiful and very personal column. You shared a lot of yourself with your readers, and I think a lot of your columns that you've done that have been the ones that have really cut through in a big way. I know you talked about it in the column, but I guess the question a lot of our audience would be maybe curious about if they didn't read it, Barry, would be why now? Why step away now?
Yeah, I think it's just been building toward this. I wouldn't say that there's any one thing that pushed me to it now. I just feel like, look, over 37 years, when you're responding every single day to breaking news and your entire life sort of revolves around everything that's happening in sports. Here's an example. It was yesterday morning. Now, I already knew I was done and that the announcement was coming today. And yesterday morning, I don't know what I was watching. It might have been CNBC. I'm addicted to CNBC, which is absurd in and of itself. Soon I'll be watching Matlock and the Weather Channel. But I think it was CNBC, and I saw in the crawl that the Knicks had won, and I knew that meant they clinched the playoffs. And immediately I started thinking, James Dolan is insane. He's got one team that makes the playoffs that was rebuilding, and the Rangers are rebuilding, and they've done a really good job. But he just fired his president. And I started going through the whole thing and thinking about, you know, the ties to Chicago owners who are liked or not. And suddenly I'm writing another column. And this is what you do 24 hours a day, or at least any of the hours that you're awake, or the ones in which you wake up in the middle of the night and begin to do it. And it's just, it's a way that you live, and over a long period of time, you guys do the same thing in your job. It's very much the same. And over a period of time, it takes a toll. There's a cost to that. There's a cost to never being able to sort of put down the phone or close the laptop or stop watching a game. And I'm just tired. It's, you know, some of it has to do with some personal things that I've been through in my life. And I think those things are wearing on me more and more. And it's probably time to just take a step back and maybe deal with all the things that I've never dealt with. But I wouldn't say, Danny, that it's any one thing. I think it's just sort of an overwhelming exhaustion that has come over me in the last, really, I would say, probably started feeling it about a year ago. And then in the last 6 months, there were numerous times I picked up the phone and began to call our publisher. And I just thought, no, I'm going to wait one more day and see if it passes. And it just never passed. And I got to the point where I said, I need to do nothing for a while. And that's my plan. I don't have any plans. Everybody's asking me today, where are you going? What are you doing? Nothing, nothing for a while. I need to just do nothing. I think a lot of people will understand that. I think a lot of people won't, and that's okay. But I want to kick back for a while, and who knows what I might do 6 months or a year from now. But I truly have no plans in mind.
Hey Barry, I had a good couples therapy session this morning. Danny had a good one, a good solo therapy. What's your day, Danny? Usually Tuesdays,
Mondays.
Yeah. So you know, if you need
trying to start the week off. You said you don't like talking about yourself. Get ready for therapy, Barry.
Yeah, I love the line in Field of Dreams where James Earl Jones looks at Kevin Costner and says, "You're seeing a whole team of psychiatrists, aren't you?"
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably where I ought to begin.
Well, you know, good luck. If you need a referral, you let us know.
Maybe we could get a group rate.
Yeah, right, exactly. I should have known that you were getting close, Barry, because maybe it's me, but I feel like you kind of been emptying the hopper a little bit. The Don Zimmer thing from last week, man, with you and Santo and Brenly in a car on your way to Atlantic City for 24 hours of debauchery, and Zimmer calling you into his room and like berating you. I'm like, I never heard about this in my life. Where's this from? You knew it was getting close when you decided to write that one down, didn't you?
Yeah. All right. This is the truth. I have, and soon they will all be tossed in the garbage. I have probably 100 posted notes on this thing that you would call a desk, which is really just a giant pile of garbage. And I am always thinking ahead. And one of the things I wanted to do was the anniversary of that conversation in Houston that began the whole disaster. And so it really had no connection to this, but, I think if you were to look back at the last month or two, there may be some hints in there. There probably are some. But I wouldn't say that one really falls into the category of emptying the hopper. But now my favorite part of the story is that on the way out the door, Joe Goddard, who is the Sun-Times beat writer at the time, says, "What are you going to do with the minibar?" And Zimmer says, "Well, I don't drink, but you guys can take it all if you want." And that's exactly what we did. We emptied the minibar and stuffed them in our bags and then got on a train to Shea Stadium. But
yeah, and you said you still have a bottle. You still got a bottle from that minibar?
I have the little tequila bottle, which I'll tweet out a picture of and tag you in it when we get off the phone. But
that's great.
Maybe it's time to bust that thing open. And is that okay? 30 years? Is tequila okay?
Yeah, it's aged. It's vintage. Yeah. It's all the rage these days. Barry, I know you're a newspaper man, and I know you take a lot of pride in that, and the column was beautiful, but you're also a score guy. Like you were here for a long time, and you referenced it in your column. You did a lot of shows, so I guess maybe this is a selfish question for the medium and the people around here who love you, but what did your time at the Score and your relationship with this place and the audience mean to you?
Oh, it was phenomenal. I mean, you know, when you're writing, your entire interaction is via email or since, 2008 or 9 or 10, something like that, Twitter and Facebook to some extent, Instagram, whatever it is. But the interaction with the Score listeners and maybe to a lesser extent the TV that I did for a good portion of the last decade really sort of changed how I viewed the way people were seeing what we did, or in your case, in the case of the Score, listening to what we did. It's very much a personal medium. I mean, you are not just because you're getting the phone calls or seeing the texts, but it's the response that you get after that. Especially when I would say, I mean, look, I had some great runs. I did like 6 months with Bernstein in 2016 when Terry was sick, and obviously worked a lot with Matt and with Brian Hanley, and, you know, filled in probably on average 3 or 4 days a week for the better part of a decade. But it was really hit and run where we developed this. And of course, Spiegel quit. He left me high and dry. But it was really that show where the yeah.
And now I'm back. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Know, so. Yeah. Good luck with that. Anyway, so a lot of sympathy for you. Yeah. The personal connection with baseball fans is really amazing because they just so love the game, and they know when you love the game. And Spiegel always said it: you can't fake baseball. I mean, if you are not watching 25 to 30 games a week, then you're behind on everything that's happening, and you cannot fake it. And mm-hmm. I really thought doing that show that it was special, that the relationship was special. And when I quit the Score, I heard from, I mean, I don't know, thousands of people who were just grateful that there was not to me, but that there was someone who cared about the game that much and wanted to bring that passion to that show every week. And it was, you know, that was really fun, and that was very personal. So, Danny, I guess the best answer I have to that question, and God knows I could never give a short answer to any question, is that it was a very personal relationship. And one that...
Uh-oh. Did we lose Barry?
We got you.
We got you. Yes.
I was just saying that it was a very personal relationship, one that I would not have suspected until the years at the Score.
I'm glad that you felt it. I hope you still feel it. There are certain things that come up on any radio show that any of us are doing that end up sort of being the intellectual property of a moment that you had on the radio, whether it is whether it is, as you reference in the column, 7 being more than 6, right? Or we're not that far away. or 815 Lance, who still texts in, and the day that he told us about the pig-sized rats coalition of Wrigleyville and how they were upset with the renovations at Wrigley Field, you know? Those things, and the fact that you didn't know pickles were just cucumbers. You thought that they came from the ground as the hot and spicy type. They were bred that way. You know, certain things are yours forever, and it is a connection with you and the listeners forever that, Barry, frankly, stands in place of friendships for some of us and relationships. Like, it is a genuine relationship that you have with the listeners. So I hope you feel that, because Lord knows, I know they feel it for you, that fondness.
Oh, that's crazy. I do know this. When I was growing up listening to radio, and I always thought Steve Dahl did the best radio that was ever done. And I can remember sitting in traffic and thinking, thank goodness there's something on the radio to listen to. And of course, this was before satellite and all that and podcasts or anything else that you might want to use to pass the time. And if you were in the car and you were stuck in traffic, you were on the Kennedy, and God knows we've all been stuck on the Kennedy for 2.5 hours. I mean, you had something that got you from one place to another. And that's what I thought the magic of radio was. It helps you get from one place to another. And if you're fortunate enough somewhere along the way to stumble onto something that's good, and it's always an accident, but you stumble onto something that's good that makes people laugh or makes them think or just entertains them or helps them a little bit, then God bless all of us. Then, you know, maybe we help somebody with a little part of their day. It's all I ever thought about. Spiegel, you know me. I just am what I am. I never tried to be anything other than what I am, which is mostly an idiot. And I'm reminded of that pretty much every day by my wife and girls. And I'm Pickles is a perfect example. I mean, and those things happen more frequently than you know around my house. But you know, I always thought that was a pretty cool thing, that if you can help somebody with just a little part of their day, then that's pretty damn good.
So, last question, and it's the important one. Who are we betting on in the PGA, Barry?
All right, I've not spent a lot of time on this, but I will tell you, Danny, that before the Byron Nelson, which is taking place right now and is live on Golf Channel, and it's really what I'm watching and not so much paying attention to you guys.
Understandable.
Is what I thought was I would like to parlay Spieth this week with Spieth next week, and I just couldn't find a place to do it. Nobody would let me do it, but that was on my mind. I thought he had a great chance this week. Kiowa next week is a place where you've got to scramble like a madman. And that is, I mean, Jordan Spieth isn't Jordan Spieth again yet. But if he's going to be, this would be, Kiowa would be a great place for him to do it, because you've got to get up and down like crazy. It is the kind of course where he wins, if you follow what I'm saying. It's the kind of place where if you are able to get out of trouble, and there's going to be a lot of trouble there, then you're going to have a good chance. So it kind of fits him. Now, the number's not great. I think it was like 16 or 18 before the week, before this week started. It's not a great number, but if you're looking for something bigger, I'll be looking. Why are you laughing?
Because Parkin, you're like, I haven't really looked that much, and then you just you
course
let it fly.
Rating, the odds. I'm watching golf right now on the Golf Channel. You're the best. Hey, I know you're retiring, and I know you're going to play a lot of golf, and I know you're going to completely unplug, and I'm thrilled for you. But if I still want to text you occasionally for golf betting advice, if that's okay.
Yeah, you're welcome to text me. I'd say the odds of me getting back to you are slim.
That's fine.
But you're welcome. I mean, that's your choice. If you want to text me, go ahead.
I'm used to being ignored.
I'll make no promises as to whether I'm going to respond to you. And as for you, Spiegel, let me be clear.
Uh-huh.
I'm not coming back to hit and run. But
not even just for a one-off every once in a while?
Not 15 minutes, not 12 minutes, not for trivia, not for anything. Leave me alone.
Bastard. All right. Well,
leave me alone.
Okay, fair. Texters on the way out say, Barry, today's column was very readable. They also wonder, why do you hate McGowan? and they're hoping that you have all the pizza puffs you could possibly want in retirement, sir.
Well, tell them thank you. I guess I just did. Thank you for that, texters. Thank you guys for thanks for everything. I don't know what happens next. I'm not worried about it. I feel good. I'm really happy. I'm relieved, and I'm grateful to the Daily Herald for 37 years and for treating me so well on the way out the door. And thank you, Chicago, for everything. We will we'll all see each other again. I'm just not sure when or how, but thanks for everything.
All right, buddy.
Enjoy retirement, Barry. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
All right. Love to Amy and the girls, all right?
That's Barry Rosner, 37 years at the Daily Herald. We're way late. We'll hear from Justin Fields, Tevin Jenkins, Bears rookies, and a Bears rookie that Spiegs has wanted to talk about for a couple of weeks. It's coming up on The Score.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.